When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. We have talked at length about the Heisman Trophy, obviously handed out on Saturday night to Travis Hunter, the two-way star for the Colorado Buffaloes. He outpaced Ashton Janty, the running back from Boise State University, Cam Ward, the quarterback at Miami, and Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback at the University of Oregon. Welp, Dan Patrick is a Heisman voter. Yes, that one. And yesterday on his show, now that the Heisman winner was revealed, Dan Patrick said, I can now reveal to you whomst I voted for and why. I don't have an issue with the take. I think there was this conversation that we had yesterday on the show. I don't think there was a conversation we had yesterday on the show. We had a conversation yesterday on the show that I wanted to circle back and address because Diesel heard it and he had me bring it up on Wire to Wire yesterday afternoon as well. And there was a reaction there as well. Madcraft asked the question over the weekend, should the public have any sort of say? Should the public have any sort of say into the Heisman Trophy, right? Should the public get one vote? Should they run a fan vote and allow the public to have, you know, one vote? You know, that's not even that big of a deal. There's, I think, 950 Heisman voters. Should there be a fan vote and, you know, pick one, two, and three? And we submit all of them, and then we get one vote that's equivalent to Mark Ingram's vote or Tim Tebow's vote or whatever. And the answer to me was yesterday, no. And that is because, respectfully, most people don't watch enough games, in my opinion. Most people don't watch enough games, in my ever so humble opinion, to justify them having any sort of say in who wins, what is, whether we like it or not, the most prestigious trophy in college football. So Dan Patrick goes on and he says, look, I go with Ashton Janty, and I do want to make one thing very clear here. If your argument was that Ashton Janty deserved to win the Heisman, that is not an argument I am going to push back against. I'm fine with that. I do not have an issue with anyone saying, my issue yesterday was not that if you are picking Ashton Janty, you're wrong. No, it's not that at all. I think Ashton Janti, as I've mentioned a couple of times, I think Ashton Janti did something this year, as Dan Patrick just pointed out. Ashton Janti, why did I just turn into like a New York mobster wife? Ashton Janti did something this year that, frankly...
We were talking about Marissa Tomei yesterday, and it's still in your head a little bit.
We can talk more about Marissa Tomei if we want to.
That's probably why he was... Yeah.
Ashton Janti did something this year that we haven't seen since Barry Sanders, and if that's going to continue, something that we won't see again until I'm cutting people off in the automatic checkout at Costco. All right? You know, a.k.a. I'm old as dirt.
Yeah, but you probably had a doctor's appointment, so that makes it okay.
I still would not have had the sheer and entire audacity, all right? That's the point. But if the pace continues, this is likely something that we will not see happen again, at least while I'm still young, as I definitely and clearly am right now, okay? So I don't have an issue. My argument was not that if you pick Ashton Janti, you're wrong. My argument was that the overwhelming number of people who would have voted on, Twitter or whatever, just haven't watched enough football to justify being given any sort of power and who it was that that wins the most prestigious award in college football. That was it. That was my take. Diesel was like blown away by that yesterday. He's like, well, you know, I watch all the... Okay, again, how many Ashton Janti games did you watch? How many Boise State games did you watch?
How many did he watch?
I don't think he actually answered the question.
Okay.
So
that's a good move on
his
part.
For what that's worth, I feel like that gives you the answer, right? Like, I feel like that tells you exactly what you need to know, and that is, I'm right. Again, as I usually am. I don't have a problem with Dan Patrick's selection. I'm with Madcraft. Like, I think it was kind of interesting putting Shedeur Sanders in your top three. But, again, as it is, just like it is with the college football playoff selection process for who's going to the playoff, one of the things that I think we as fans have to remember for cases like this is, ultimately, all of this is subjective, right? Who gets into the bracket? Subjective. Who should be left out of the bracket? Subjective. Who's the best player in college football? Entirely subjective. And once you understand that these things are subjective and that your criteria for X, Y, and Z is likely very different than my criteria for X, Y, and Z. And once you come to the recognition that just because I don't like it doesn't make it wrong, right? Just because I don't like it doesn't make it wrong. And just because you do like it doesn't make it right. Subjectivity is important. I don't love having Shedeur in the top 10, but let's be real. Shedeur was in the top 10, but barely in the top 10. Not because Shedeur is not one of the best quarterbacks in college football this year. I think he very clearly was. It's because there's 950-ish people out there, and they all have their own criteria, and that's just kind of how it shook out. There are plenty of people who have outside-the-box opinions about a thing that, you know, are not a top 10 opinion. And then those opinions get enacted, and you go, actually, that guy was right all along. The argument was never Ashton Janti shouldn't have won. The argument was never if you selected Ashton Janti, I don't trust you to cover it. I would be willing to bet, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and frankly, we'll never know. But what I can say is this. I've been in this industry for 17 going on 18 years now. And I can tell you that not all, but a majority of people who do the job that I do and do the work that I do, a majority of those people take watching football, a game that they are asked to go in front of a microphone any given day of the week and talk about, they take watching these games, understanding these games, and knowing what the hell they're talking about very seriously. I've told you, I've worked with one guy in the past who literally said, I don't really watch the football games. I watched the highlights, and then I... Now, this individual believed, and again, I'm not for it or against it. Different strokes for different folks. This person believed wholeheartedly that when we come in here and talk about sports, we should talk about the character stories, not the scores and the stats, right? We should talk about the personal stories. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I think there is room for it. But I also know that at the end of the day, as much as we are all intrigued by the personal drama that sports often interjects in our lives, like, let's be honest, we've all been interested in following the Aaron Rodgers drama. But I think if you're going to talk NFL football, you got to be able to talk about why Aaron Rodgers has failed as a quarterback this year. Why the New York Jets have failed as an organization this year. I think it's important to have that conversation. And so, for me, I'm not going to entrust somebody who picks Ashton Jeanty because they watched maybe a game. I'm going to entrust somebody who picked Ashton Jeanty because they watched 8 or 9 or 10 Boise State games. And unfortunately, and I'm not saying this is true about all of you, but when you talk about opening a social media poll, the vast, overwhelming number of people who are going to vote in that poll have not watched the amount of football that people who have a Heisman vote and take it seriously, I'm not even saying all of them do, but do take it seriously, have watched when they're making this consideration. That was my only point. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Another discussion we need to have. Diesel and Cole have a best Christmas movie bracket going on right now, and there is an inherent flaw in their system that I have to get off my chest now. We'll do that coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, Rob, the great Milonzo, and you. I want to get to this Christmas movie thing here in a second, but I want to respond, Matt Crafter on the stream. And by the way, Matt Crafter's been, he's pumped up the volume, jammed.
He really wants to be right in a Rob Brown kind of way.
I respect it.
Yeah, I mean, he's pressing it. But, I mean, you know.
He said all four of those guys deserved a Heisman.
We're also assuming it's a dude. I mean, could be. I mean.
All four of those guys deserved.
Then you know who it is. Okay.
I don't know who it is, but they've been around. Matt Crafter's been around the
Fan
Upstate.
Gave me that look like I should know who it is.
Yeah, they've been around the Fan Upstate circle for a long time. All four of those guys deserved a Heisman, but Jeanty not winning isn't what ticked me off. Hunter didn't lead in any statistical category, and he's playing two positions, but I think those voters are swayed like members of Congress. Also, if I told you I watched 8 Boise games, would my vote matter then? Take a community issue where all the people vote option A, but then their own elected official votes option B in the vote. All right, so to kind of follow your thought.
If you watched them live, you must have a noon job.
Madcraft, if you are asking me if you watch 8 Boise games, if your vote matters more, first off, when did you get selected for a Heisman vote? Because I haven't, and I've been wanting for a very long time. Okay? I've wanted one for a very long time. But what I will say, in sincerity, is that your vote doesn't exist, so that's irrelevant. What does matter to me in that case is your opinion on the topic, because you have gone out and you have taken the time to learn, to watch, to educate yourself on this particular topic. And this is true not just about Heisman voters. I am talking about anything and everything. This is one of the reasons that for the party cabinet picks of both parties, I get very frustrated with cabinet picks, because no, you are not picking a medical professional to lead the nation's primary health organization, okay? I don't need that guy. I don't want you to go pick somebody who has never been a teacher or an educator to lead the Department of Education. I don't. I want somebody who has got education, who has been involved and is there, et cetera. Same thing with this. I don't want fans in charge of the Heisman voting, because I have done the surveys and the overwhelming majority of y'all watched maybe a combined 3 or 4 games of the top 4 players that were finalists. Again, like I'm sure many of you watched at least a couple of Dylan Gabriel games because the Ducks were obviously quite relevant this year. I'm sure that some of you watched a Miami game because they're in the ACC, which obviously had a lot of connections around here, specifically maybe the Syracuse game at the end of the year. But I bet you if we took 100 people off the street, self-proclaimed college football fans, and we said, hey, combined, how many Dylan Gabriel, Cam Ward, Ashton Jante, and Travis Hunter games did you watch? I bet the answer for most of them is like six combined between all four players.
I watched a good portion of the Colorado games because my wife's a big fan of Coach Prime, and so when it's on, she wants to watch the game, so I watch it with her.
That's great. Yeah. Your wife is also probably outside of the norm. She's the exception, not the rule.
What, because she's a sports fan? Is that why you say that, Ron?
No, because she watched six Colorado games, right?
They actually put the Colorado games in time slots where you can watch them.
Doesn't hurt. Mountain West kickoff for Boise State starting at 11 p.m. Eastern certainly makes it hard for the Atlantic Seaboard voters to get eyes on.
And as far as Miami goes, who watched the ACC? I mean, why would you watch that stuff?
Anyway, the point here is that's why it's not who voted, or it's not who picked Ashton Jante, and it's not who picked Travis Hunter. I don't have an issue if you pick Jante or Hunter. Hell, I don't have an issue if you pick Cam Ward. Cam Ward wasn't the problem in Miami. The defense was. I don't have the only one of those guys that I did not think that if you the only guy up there that I say if you voted for that person, I'm not taking your opinion seriously is Dylan Gabriel. With all due respect, good quarterback. But Dylan Gabriel was up there as a congratulations on being the only quarterback who got to 12-0. It wasn't like Dylan Gabriel's not as good as Cam Ward. He's not as good as Cam Ward was this year. There's no reason for him to have been up there other than his team went 12-0 and nobody else's did. All right? That's my only takeaway. That's my only takeaway. All right. Let me get to this. Diesel and Cole on our afternoon show, Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole.
By the way, you should listen to that. If you don't, why not?
You should. It's a good show. Yeah. It's a good show. They, Alonzo, are doing a fan-selected Christmas movie bracket.
Yeah, okay? I don't do that stuff anymore, but I'm willing to entertain
this. Alonzo got real mad that his favorite didn't win one time.
No, it has
so
nothing to do with that.
Now.
It's politics.
Yes, yeah. That's how everything works.
I hate politics, so I'm done with it. But still, I'm curious about why this piqued your interest.
So they allowed the fans to select the movies that go into the bracket. Here are the games, all right? I know we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but there is a point that I want to get to. The opening round was Elf versus Christmas with the Cranks. The winner takes on Frosty the Snowman. Polar Express takes on Home Alone. The winner takes on Die Hard. Miracle on 34th Street takes on Home Alone 2, which is bullcrap, by the way. But again, we'll come to that. The winner takes on Christmas Vacation. The other side of the bracket is A Christmas Story takes on Charlie Brown Christmas. The winner takes on It's a Wonderful Life. Jack Frost takes on The Grinch, but it's the Jim Carrey's version of The Grinch, not the OG. With the winner taking on A Christmas Carol. And here's my favorite part, and this is why I got onto Diesel yesterday. I said, which version of A Christmas Carol? He said, I don't know. Well, then, what am I voting on? Because different versions have different grades here. Am I right? A Muppet Christmas Carol is the greatest version of A Christmas Carol that's ever been told.
Yeah, Scrooged is the greatest.
Scrooged is a very close second. But Michael Caine treating Gonzo as if he's another Shakespearean caliber actor. We'll never stop being amazing.
I will not have you disparaging Gonzo.
I'm doing quite the opposite. I just said Gonzo's version is the number one version, and you said it's not. You're disparaging the Muppets. And then Santa Claus.
I thought Piggy's performance was not up to par as
Kermit
from her Chef's other kiss, efforts. Though. So yeah.
And Sam Eagle, as always. Just a legend.
I mean,
right?
Without a doubt.
Santa Claus taking on the OG Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, with the winner taking on Nightmare Before Christmas. Elf beat Christmas with the Cranks. Elf then lost to Frosty the Snowman. Jingle All the Way knocked off Santa Claus 2, which, by the way, you guys putting the movie and sequels in here is kind of a horse crap way to win a bracket. All right. But Jingle All the Way took out Santa Claus 2.
You criticize everybody's bracket, but why aren't you doing one? I don't recall
because everyone else does them.
Okay, all right.
All right, because everyone else does one.
You rebel.
Now, you want me to put together a movie bracket, I'll put one together that actually matters and counts. Okay?
All right, fine.
But we'll Jingle, see. Frosty the Snowman.
It's like you're going to bring me gumbo. Yeah.
Versus Jingle All the Way, Home Alone, Christmas Vacation, move it on. Christmas Story knocks out It's a Wonderful Life and Charlie Brown Christmas. Bad Santa knocked off Madea's Christmas. The Grinch Jim Carrey version knocked off Jack Frost and A Christmas Carol. We don't know which one, but A Christmas Carol. And Santa Claus with an E, the Tim Allen one, knocked off Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the OG, and Nightmare Before Christmas to move on. Now, I do want to argue something here. Some of these movies aren't Christmas movies. Some of these movies are Christmas movies only in that the backdrop is Christmas.
Oh, boy.
Home Alone is not a Christmas movie. Never has been, never will be. It's not a Christmas movie. Home Alone is a movie in which the backdrop is Christmas, but I could take Home Alone and drop it on any holiday, and it would make the exact same amount of sense.
You're going to be so wrong. I mean, all the setup, and you're already wrong there. And
no, I'm not.
You're going to be wrong further.
In which way?
I'm embarrassed for how
in which way? Were. In which way is Home Alone a Christmas movie and not a comedy adventure movie that happens to be a Christmas? It's not a Christmas movie, all right? It's just backdrop to Christmas. I could do Home Alone for any holiday, and it would still be the exact same movie.
Nope.
Yes, it would.
It would not.
How would it not?
It would not.
How would it not?
Christmas decorations would
That's
not be up.
That's the setting, not would the not, movie. Would not be, no, yeah, no, no. That's the setting.
Setting helps make
no,
it.
No, 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 no,
absolutely
no, 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 no. It is a movie that happens at Christmas, not a Christmas movie. And here's the controversial take that I'm going to get in trouble for, and I don't care. Die Hard is also not a Christmas movie.
Definitely a Christmas movie.
It is not.
See,
Bruce Willis said it's not a Christmas movie.
He's not. This is going to be mean, but he's not exactly in his right.
He said it years ago.
He's not, yeah.
He said it years ago. Bruce Willis said, and correctly said.
Did he write the movie?
Does it matter?
Did he write the
Does
movie?
It matter?
What does the writer say?
It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, it does.
It doesn't matter.
If it's the writer says this is a Christmas movie, then it's a Christmas movie. Because the writer wrote it specifically as a Christmas movie.
The setting of a movie doesn't make that movie a thing.
If the writer says it's not, then it's not. But if the writer says it is, then it is.
Not really.
Uh-huh.
If I came in tomorrow, Lonzo, as the person whose name's on the show and said, hey, we're a political show. And we didn't change anything, but we're a political show. Does that make this a political show now? No. It's still a sports show. You can say a thing is a thing, but it doesn't make the thing a thing. If I say your car is blue, does that make that car blue? No, the car's red. It is what it is.
Wow. Thanks for telling everybody what color my car is.
I'm making up a color.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have to reveal that. That was your
fault. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? It's a you problem.
Yeah, you politicked me into saying the wrong thing.
Got him. Because that was my goal. Listen, Home Alone is not a Christmas movie. It is a movie that takes place at Christmas. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
You know that look, look you look, give look, look. The look you give me sometimes. Like, your take could not be so wrong. That look, I wish that I could give you the look you give me. Because I, along with many people, probably the majority, probably 98% of the audience, is giving you that look right now. You're very wrong. And
no, I'm not.
And again, I'm embarrassed for you.
You people don't understand the difference between setting and plot.
You people.
You people.
All of
all
us.
All of you that think Home Alone is a Christmas movie and are wrong about it, you don't understand the difference between setting and plot. It is set at Christmas, but that does not make it a Christmas movie, all right? Ted Lasso is set with a soccer team. It is not a soccer show. Does it involve soccer? Yes. Does it take place? Are the characters soccer players? Yes. But it is not a soccer show. It involves soccer, but it's not a soccer show.
Rob Brown will be running for something eventually, and when he does, he's going to do it really well.
It is important.
Because this is just a bunch of doublespeak about the fact that you're wrong.
And no.
And you're absolutely
wrong.
I am wrong.
Literally doublespeaking nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
It's
a movie taking place at Christmas does not make it a Christmas movie. If you want a Christmas movie, you've got to tell Christmas themes. The spirit of Christmas must be involved. If Kevin's family left him at home during the fourth, Texter literally just asked, You're saying the movie works if the holiday is July 4th or Halloween? Yes!
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it absolutely does. If Kevin's family is on a plane on the way to Paris and Kevin's at home, the difference is instead of dropping paint or, you know, dropping Christmas ornaments on the floor, he puts down firecrackers. Now are we going to go, that's a patriotic movie?
I'm sure Diesel gave you the same look, except his is more condescending than anything I can do. And I'm sure he gave you that look.
And
through the screen,
too. And he's wrong, too.
Well,
setting is not plot. Setting is not theme. Setting is not message.
The majority of the hosts on the Fan Upstate believe one way, and you, as usual, are on an island all by yourself.
But you're all wrong. Objectively, you're wrong.
Stop being a contrarian, man.
I'm not.
You're the only one with that opinion.
And you're all wrong.
That's a contrarian opinion.
The setting of a movie does not dictate its genre, man. Never has, never will. Never has, never will.
What was your major in college?
Broadcast communications.
It wasn't drama,
which I am both broadcasting and communicating how right I am.
If it was drama, you would know how wrong you are.
If Kevin's family flew to Paris on the 4th of July, and instead of putting down Christmas ornaments on the floor for Marv to step on and get his feet all jacked up, and he put down firecrackers that exploded around him, would you walk in here today and go, you know, I feel more American than ever before? No. You go, that was a fun little movie. It's not a Christmas movie, all right? It's just not.
There's only one un-American person in this room, and they're the one who's declaring that classic movies, classic Christmas movies, are not Christmas movies.
I'm not saying it's not a classic movie. It's still a wonderful movie. It's not a Christmas movie.
You're right.
At all.
And It's a Wonderful Life was about business.
It's a Wonderful Life.
You know, Christmas was a background, but it was about the business in the town.
No,
and about
you're
people,
literally
people
right
taking
180 degrees around.
It is a setting
in a town run by Mr. Potter with shady business practices.
A Nightmare Before Christmas was about Halloween. It wasn't about Christmas.
Listen.
Because the setting was Halloween characters.
The setting of It's a Wonderful Life, a movie that I watch with my mother every year on Christmas because it's her favorite Christmas movie and I'm a good kid. All right? It is a setting of Mr. Potter's world where he's a terrible person. But the message is about giving and sacrifice. The message of Home Alone is about how to be funny when you swing a paint can in the face of a bad guy. That's not Christmas. That's just a funny comedy haha movie.
Sounds like you don't like Home Alone.
I love Home Alone.
Wow.
What I don't love is it being popped into this bracket as if it's a Christmas movie when it's not. And it never has been.
Yes.
And it never has been.
Going to see a Christmas choir. Let's see the fact that Christmas music is playing all through it.
Setting! These are settings. These are not themes or messages. These are settings.
You are so wrong right now.
Settings. Setting is not the theme. Texter said, Home Alone works for Christmas because of the feelings that only Christmas brings. Family, forgiveness, music, etc. July 4th does not bring. No other holiday. Family?
People, that's you're so not going to win. Right. Don't bother. Right. Don't bother.
December 15th. December 15th, you call your mom and I'm like, I love you and I'll talk to you in a year when Christmas rolls around. No. Stop it.
What the heck did you just say? That
this person just said, it's a Christmas movie because of the feelings only Christmas brings. Family. That's it? You call in your family from December 12th to 26th and then screw them until next December? No. You do that all year long. Which is why that movie's not a Christmas movie. It's set at Christmas, not a Christmas movie.
Hey, can we do the thing that we're late for?
This is a sports flash happening around Christmas. It's not a Christmas sports flash. It's just a sports flash that happens close to Christmas.
I disagree. This is a comedy with sports as a setting. Two Monday night football games wrapped up week 15 of the NFL season in Minnesota. The Vikings. Not the Wings. I don't know where that came from. Maybe I'm hungry. Crested Bears 30-12. Sam Darnold threw for 231 yards and a touchdown to Justin Jefferson. Minnesota sacks Chicago quarterback Caleb Williams twice, but had the rookie on the run all night long. Probably still running. In the other game, Atlanta kept their NFC South hopes alive with a 15-9 win over the Raiders. Kirk Cousins threw his first touchdown in the last five games, but was picked off as well, going 11 of 17 for 112 total yards. Bijan Robinson ran for 125 yards on 22 carries. Tune in tomorrow at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Montreat Cavaliers. It's Furman versus Montreat right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan Upstate.